We're on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. If you count up from the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up, Tana Rabbanan. And here we're going to discuss the case of Shor, Shehemis Adam. The Shor attacked a human being and killed a human being, and at the same time destroyed and damaged some of the property of the deceased, of the victim. The Torah says in Shmos Perek Chaf Aleph regarding Shor Shehemis Adam, V'chiyigach Shor Es Ish O Es Isha Umeis Sakol Yisakol Ashar V'lo Yochal Es Psaro Bal Ashar Naki V'im Shor Nagachu Mitmol Shilsham V'ued B'bolav V'lo Yishmerenu V'hemis Isha O Isha Shor Yisakol V'gam B'olav Yumas Im kofer yushas olav, v'nosan pidyon nafsho k'chol sho yushas olav. So that's the parasha of a shor that murdered a human being. If it's a shor tam, then the shor is put to death. And if it's a shor muad, in addition to putting the shor to death, the owner of the shor is chayev kofer. And that's what the Torah says in Kofar Yushas Olav, Vinosan Pidyon Nafsho, etc. Now, with regard to a shor that damaged the property of a human being, the Torah says there in the same parasha, V'chi Yigov Shor Isha Shareiv Ameis, U'machru Es HaShor Achai V'chotzu Es Kaspo, V'gam Es Ames Yechtzun, Onoda Ki Shor Nagach U'mitmol Shilshon V'lo Yishmerenu Balov, is Shalem Yishalem Shartach Hashor V'Hameis Yelo. So in the first case, we're talking about V'Chatzus Kaspo, which means Chatzin Nezek V'Tam, and that's paid Migufo Shal Shor. And in the second case, it's a Shor Nagchon, it's a Shor Muad, you pay Nezek Shalem. Haliyah. So in the case of Shor Muad, the Bailim pay for Nezikin Min Haliyah, they're not limited to the value of the Shor, as opposed to Shor Tam, which pays only Migufo. But the common denominator here in these two parashiyos of Shor Shehemis Adam, whether it's Tam or Muad, is that the Shor is put to death. The difference between the two is that a shor shehemis shahorag adam, if it's a shor tam, the baal hashor doesn't pay. If, on the other hand, it's a shor muad, the baalim pay kofar. And these are all dinim that we've seen in the past, appearing, as it were, all over Masechta Bava Kamma. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a braisa. Shor tam, so this is before the third Negicha. Shehemis, it killed a person, Vehizik, and at the same time, there was a damage to the mamon, to the property of a person. Is done in Oso Dini Nefashos, V'ein done in Oso Dini Mamonos. Now, we're talking about the case of a shor tam. And the shor tam pays for nezikin min hagufo, migufo. That's called dini momenos here in this context. What happens is that first we judge the shor as a killer shor. We put the shor to death. That's called donin also dini nefashos. Now, there's no room for dini momenos. Namely, to have the shor, in quotation marks, pay for the damage because the shor is gone. And a shor tam only pays migufo. If there's no guf for the shor, then there's no tashlumin, there's no nizik. However, shor shehemis vehizik, on the safe of the Brice, we're talking about a shor muad, Shehemis Vehizik, he did both kill a human being and damage the property of a human being is donenos so dini mamonos. First, we'll judge him for the hezek of mamon. The bialim will pay nezek shalim because we're talking about a muad, and that's min aliyah. In other words, it's irrelevant to the value of the shor. That's paid out of pocket. Then afterwards, chozrim v'donenos so dini nefashos. Now we'll judge the shor for killing a person, and we're going to put the shor to death. However, kadmu v'danu dini nefashos, ein chozrim v'donenos so dini mamonos. If they began by switching the order and they judged the shor muad to be killed before they dealt with the negichas hefseid moment, is ein chozrim v'donenos so dini mamonos. We don't have to go back. And there's no point to judging the dini mamonos for the hezek of mamon. This sefer, which insists that we start with dini mamonos, but if we switch the order and first they judge the shor b'dini nefashos as shor niskal, is ein chozrim v'donenos dini mamonos, makes no sense. The Gemara right away asks, v'chi kadmu v'danu dini nefashos mayhavi leheder v'lidaine nami mamonos. Since we're talking about a shor hamuad, which pays min aliyah, then it's irrelevant, even though we put the shor to death, damages have to be paid. Who cares about the shor? L'chayra, the simplest answer to the Gemara's kasha is that if they started with dine nefashos, then the shor is the din of shor hefker, because ubala shor naki, we derive that it's osur ba'na once the judgment is handed down. And the halacha of a shor niskal is called konim zacha, that's a sugin krisus. And therefore, once they judge this shor for death, it's hefker, and there's no way that you can now be mechayev dini mamonos on hezek when the shor is ownerless. But we're going to have to assume that this halacha of kol konim zacha doesn't mean the shor is ownerless. It means you're not a gazlan for taking it from the shor. It's like, shall we say, an aveda lachar yeish. It still belongs to him until someone else comes and takes it away. Amar Rava, ashkechatinu l'rabbanon debei rav. And Rashi interprets this to say that Beirav means a Beis HaMedrash. I found the rabbis in the Beis HaMedrash, and I discussed this question with them. Diyasvi v'ka'amre, and they sat and they gave me the following answer. Hamani, who is the author of the Braisa? Rabbi Shimon Atimnihi. Diomar, and this is what we learned in the Braisa of yesterday. Ma egrof miyuchad shem mosur li'eda uli'edim. Is afkol shemosu liyed liyed, meaning in order to judge the shor, we need to bring the Dovra Masik in front of Bezdin, and we have to make an umdana to evaluate whether or not indeed the damaging object was capable of creating this damage. As we discussed with regard to a murder case, we bring in the stone with which he hit the guy, and we see if with such a stone he could have possibly killed him. Here too, we have to bring the shor in. Be'inon umdina debedina alma. This on the top of Tzadi Aleph. We see from Rabbi Shimon Hatimni that we need an umdina, and Bezdin and the Dayanim have to make an umdina, and they have to analyze the mazik. In this case, the mazik is the shor. The shor shehizik, they have to be omei the shor, that means estimate, evaluate, and analyze, investigate that this shor had the capacity to create this negicha, this damage. And even though the original statement of Rabbi Shimon was formulated in terms of shor hamemis, or nezikin and misa, but nezikin is as the same halacha. In fact, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni in his original formulation addressed the case of Nezakin, and he derived from the pasuk in Shmos Chafal Vehika Ishes Reyehu Bievino Ve'egrov, that case is a case of Nezikin, not a case of Misa. And the next part of the pasuk says, Velo Yomus v'nafal mishkav. So we're talking about nezikin, and yet we require umduna. But here, if you started with dinin afashals v'ha kevan degama dinin l'ktola mashhinon li umduna de beidina v'loma aninon li dine. Once Bezdin has handed down a verdict condemning the shor to death, that itself generates an immediate urgent obligation to put the shor to death. And such halacha applies even in human, or in the original form, in human beings who are condemned to death, that we don't delay putting them to death. That's called inui dina. And that halacha of inui dina, by virtue of the hekesh between the din of nefashos in a human being and the din of nefashos as far as the shor being put to death, applies now to the case of shor shehizik. And what that means is that shor shehemis, excuse me. And what that means is that we're not going to delay the implementation of the gzar din. And now, what happens over here? You want to delay putting the shor to death in order to bring the shor in for dini momenos for an umdana. That pressing need to do the umdana in order to be mechayev the bala shor dini momenos and tashlumi nezikin is not great enough, it's not powerful enough to trump the halacha of inui adin that requires of us to put the shor to death immediately without delay. Is memela, once we put the shor to death, according to Reb Shimon HaTimni, we have no possibility of dini momenos to be mechayev him for hezeki momen because there's no possibility of umdana. Now Rava himself, although he heard this from the Bnei HaYeshiva, v'amina lehu ana, but after they presented this understanding, I responded, says Rava, filu tema Rabbi Akiva. Even if this brice that we're studying now is authored by Rabbi Akiva, who denies the halach of umdana, he rejects this condition that we have to bring the Dovra Mazik into Bezdin and investigate it. Nevertheless, there's no question. Why is it that if they judge the shor for dina nefashos first, there will not be any judgment on the shor for dina momenos second? The answer is hachamai haskini kigon shebarach. The Brisa is addressing a scenario in which the owner of the shor, after they judged the shor for dina nefashos, he flew the coop. And therefore, we cannot now judge this case in dina momenos. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Erevin that just like as far as misa of the shor is concerned, there's got to be, the baldor has to be there, present in Bezdin. So too, as far as nezikin is concerned, you cannot judge a person as the owner of a mazik. And a person cannot be judged as obligated to pay damages unless yavo bal shor v'yamid al shoro. He's got to be there. And the edus and the din has to be befanov. Here it was barach. And therefore there's no possibility of judging him in dini momenos. So the impression you get here is that the barach situation is just a temporary situation. When we say ain't done in, we means for the time being we can't judge him until we get a hold of him. Now, why does the halach of inui adin, which in its original formulation is derived from v'ahavta l'reach kamocha in a case of a human being, and that's the sugya in Sanhedrin and Beis, why does that apply to a shor shehemis, and the shor has to be put to death? There you would say there's no din, there's no problem of inui hadin, and there certainly is no application of v'ahavta l'reach kamocha. The answer, as I indicated earlier, is that whatever dinim apply to Adam, apply to Shor as well. And that's based on Kimisas HaShor Kimisas Bailov, which is derived back on Daf Mem He from the Pasuk says HaShor Yisakal Vagam Be'olav Yumas. So the din of Inui Adin, which enjoins us from delaying the implementation of the punishment, which is rooted in Adam, now by virtue of this equation applies to the shor as well. The Gemara asks the following question: E barach, e kishe barach, meaning if we're talking about a case where the owner of the shor flew the coop, is ki lo danu bedine nefashos? is Hechi Daininale. If they didn't judge the Shar in Dinin of Foshos, right, for killing a human being, which according to the Bryce is the second thing that we have to do, is then how could we judge him on Dini Mominos? How could we? The Bryce says we should start with Dini Mominos. But if it's Barach, then it can't be that he judged for Dini Nefashos. Hechi Dainina Le, Dini Mominos, below Bailim. In the recommended sequence of this Bryce, so that we begin with Dini Mominos and go on to Dini Nefashos, how can it be it's a case of Barach? We're not going to get by the first step and first base because we cannot judge for Dini Mominos without his being there below Bailim. And the answer is, says the Gemara, De Kabil Sahadi, that before he got a chance, the owner of the Shar, to fly the coop, Bezdin accepted Edus of two Edim in front of the Baal Shar while he was there, to testify that his Shar gored and killed and damaged someone. And then Ubarach, immediately before Bezdin had a chance to hand down their verdict based on this testimony, he, the owner of the Shar, flew the coop, and we can't find him. Nevertheless, we can be mechayev him mamon, and that's what the Braisa means, that first we should judge Dini Mominos, because it was already a Kabbalah's Eidus. Now it's the halacha befanov of Bifnei Baldin, which states in Erevin that we can't be mechayev a person if he's not around, that only applies to Kabbalah's Eidus. It doesn't apply to the actual Gemar Din when Bezdin hands down their verdict. Once they've already had befanov at the time of the Eidus, that's enough. The Tanai of Befanov is Allah and Ilchas Eidus. And therefore, it's very possible, and this is what the Braisa advocates, that they should judge him in Dine Mominos first. If they already judged him in Dine Nefashos, then there's no possibility of judging him in Dine Mominos, because once he was Boreach, then there's no way that we can sue him and expect him to pay damages. But the Gemara immediately asks, even if we didn't judge him in Dini Nefashos, is Sof Sof Me'echa Mishtalim Miridya. We know that in the case of a Shor Tam, you can only collect from the Gufa Shel Shor. Now, once he's Boreach, is how are you going to collect the damages? And the Gemara answers Miridya, which means that we could take the Shor and we could rent it out, and the Shor is going to thresh and plow on behalf of the renter. And with those monies that are paid for renting the Shor, that will be given over to the Nizak, to the one who suffered damages from this Shor. Afterwards, they will judge the Shor for Dini Nefashos, and he'll be stoned. However, if they started with Dini Nefashos for Skila, then they cannot delay his Gemar Din, and therefore they won't be able to give the Shor for rental in order to gain monies of Schichut. Because again, if they're going to delay his stoning, that's going to be Inui Adin. So rather we have to put the Shor to death immediately, Soklan Osom Yad, and then we won't be able to judge Dini Mominus and sue the owner of the Shor for Nizkei Mamon. And the reason for that is because the Baal Ashar was Boreach. The Gemara says, E Hachi, if you're right, that the case, the scenario discussed, addressed this Braisa, is that the Baal Ashar flew the coop after there was Kabbalah's Eidus, and we can collect the Tashlumi Nizikin from the Dmei Chsiris of the Shar by renting out the Shar, that money will be used, will be channeled or earmarked to pay the Nizak for damages. Now, if that be the case, let's go back to Shor Tam in the Reisha of this Braisa. Nidaine Dine Mominos per Reisha. Let's start by judging the Shor for Dine Mominos. Minishtali Miridya. Velhada Nidaine Dine Foshes. Why can't we rent out the Shor, pay up the Nizak, the Tashlumen that he deserves, through the Dmei Schirus, Velhadar Nidaini, and then subsequently we're going to judge him the Dini Nefashos, meaning judge the Shor in Dini Nefashos, because it was responsible for the death of a human being. And then we'll put the Shor to death through stoning. Why did the Bais have to say, well, you know what, we can't judge the Shor shor that killed and damaged Bedini Momin is klal, why not? Why not take the shor? We already were mekabel edus against the bailim on the neske shor, rent it out, and use that money to pay the nizak. And the Gemara answers, Omer of Mari, Bereder of Kahana. So, some else we have to derive from this price to the conclusion that Ridya Aliyah de Marahu, that Ridya is not called Migufo Shel Shor, but rather it's Min Aliyah. And in the case of a Shor Tam, we're not going to be able to do this thing and rent out the Shor. That's not going to be a method of paying the Nizak. Nizak has to be paid Migufo Shel Shor. That's the Gzeres HaKosa with regard to Shor Tam. Now to take this Shor, rent it out, and collect out those rentals and use them to pay the Nizak when the Shor damaged someone, that's impossible. And why is that so? Because the halacha of Shor Tam is that's only collectible min Gufo Shel Shor. And now what you're doing is you're renting out the shor, you bring in monies. Those monies are not the Gufo Shel Shor. And therefore, it's not considered Migufo, it's considered Min Aliyah. And in the case of Shor Tam, there's no possibility of collecting if the shor is not here to collect from. But just to review the last Shakla Vitaria, the question and the answer, the Gemara asks, if we're talking about a Shor Tam, Shehemis v'Hizik, and you're telling me that the case was that they first started judging him on the Hezek and on Nizke Momon, and after the Makabel Edus to testify against the Baal Shor Tam that he has to pay Nizikin for the damage that he caused, immediately the Baal Shor, again the Shor Tam, flew the coop. He's no longer here. Based on the Kabbalah's Edus, however, we could be mechayev him to pay damages, in this case, Chatzi Nezek for Shor Tam. But the only question is, what could we collect from? And the only thing we collect from is this Shor. So the Gemara says that in order to collect from this Shor, what we'd have to do is, we'd have to rent out the Shor and pay the Nizak with the rental fees. And then after that, we finish up with the Mamon part, and now we go to the Dinin Nefashos part. And this Shor will be convicted as accused for the crime of killing a human being, and he'll be put to death. So now the question is, if that be the case, then why does the Brisa say that Ein Donin Es Hashor Atam Shehemis V'Hizik B'Dini Mamon Es Klal? And the premise is that there's nowhere to collect from, and therefore it doesn't make any sense. It's meaningless to judge the Shor Fadini Momonos. The Baal Shor is gone. The Shor itself is a Shor Niskal. And the answer is, says the Gemara, that you're telling me that there's no way of collecting from the Shor, and you're asking, well, why can't you collect from the Shor by renting it out, and those rental fees will pay for the Dini Momonos, for the Nizikin? And the answer is, says Rav Mari, that renting out the Shor and collecting rental fees and payments for rental, that's already considered Min Aliyah. And here we're talking about a Shor Tam. A Shor Tam only pays Migufo Shel Shor. It doesn't pay Min Aliyah. And therefore, since we're limited to collect from the Gufo Shel Shor, he cannot collect Schirus from the Shor, because Schirus from the Shor is not the Gufo Shel Shor, but rather an extraneous kind of benefit or payment that comes through the Shor. That's called Min Aliyah, and that doesn't apply in the case of a Shor Tam. Iboilahu Yesh Omed Linizokin O Ein Omed Linizokin. If a Shor damages property, do we need an Umdana? Or do we not need an Umdana? The Pashtus is that this suffering in the Gemara has nothing to do with a Shor Shehizik Dafka. It could be a Shor, but it could be something else. If there was a weapon that was used to damage someone, we have to understand that by investigating through Umdana, we'll know for sure that this object could have been powerful enough independently to create the Hezik that actually occurred. Miyamrin, do we say Liktolo Hudi Amdinon? Where do we find the halach, the requirement of Umdina, that's only in a case where a human being was killed? Is Birhachi Nafka Nishama? We have to make sure that this action had within it the act of lahamis, to take the neshama away. It was roy, it was fitting, it was powerful enough to kill a person. But here, in the case of nizakin, behachi lo nafka neshama, no one's losing a neshama, and therefore we don't have to determine whether the mice itself was roy fahotzas neshama l'nizakim kolduhu. Therefore, perhaps, no matter what size or how harmless the object was, you know, that was used for the damaging was in reality, nevertheless, there was a hezek. And he's got to pay for that hezek. And here there's an indication in Rashi, Dibra Maschil Avol, Rashi says, even if the object does not have, under normal circumstances, the capacity to create damages, zechayov, why? The zimnin, the itzak becholdu. Sometimes you can damage something, even with a kolshu. Oh, Dilma, the Gemara says, no, lo shna, just like in Shar Shaharag, or Adam Shaharag, we need an umdina, so too, in the case of Nizakim, where there's no Hariga, we need Umdina. Tashma, the Gemara wants to derive a conclusion from the Mishnah back on Daf Nunamid Beis with regard to Chofer Bar. And the Mishnah has various kinds of boros there, round bar, or a Chofer Siach is a kind of subterranean bar, Ma'ara, Charitzim, Ne'itzim, a whole list of boros. He's chayef for each one of these cases of boros. And when the Torah says bar, it means that bar is kidei lilmod mimenu, to derive from bar, that anything similar to bar, you're chayef for. And ma bar, kishayesh bo kidei lohamis, asar tfachim, if the bar is 10 tfachim deep, and there's enough depth so that if a human being falls in there, he dies, or he could die, I should say, is af b'chol, that rule applies in all the cases, all the species of bar that we saw. The nezek must be paid. Gemara notices that in the Mishnah we're talking about yesh bo kidei lahamis asar tfachim. That means we have to assume that if and only if the bar is at least a minimum of 10 tefachim deep, if somebody, let's say, falls in there, let's say a behemoth, if somebody falls in there, the behemoth might very well die. And that's called yeshbo kidei lahamis asar tefachim. Oh, the implication now is that pchusim me asar tefachim afal betocho sharach hamor meis potur is huzek bo chayo. The implication is that in a bar of 9 tefachim deep, you cannot be chayev for misa, but you can be chayev for nizikin. My love, mimato lemata kachoshev. Doesn't it mean that he's going from the bottom and up? Meaning, from 0 plus, all the way up to 9.9 tefachim, you're chayev not for misa, but for nizakin, and from 10 tefachim and above, you're chayev for misa. And that would indicate that as far as Nizakin is concerned, any bar culture is considered a bar, and you're going to have to pay for Nizakin. And therefore, in the case of Mitefach V'yad Asara, where there's no anticipation of Misa, because the bar is not Roy Lahamis, but rather it's Roy Lahazik, it would seem. Alma Linizakim called Ushmamino Deinom Din Linizakim. It sounds like if you're going from the bottom all the way up to 10 for a bar of memis, then up till 10, you're chayev in Ezekiel of Kaldu. In other words, we're not going to make an umdina and see, well, you know, it was a small, limited piece of an object that was used as the conduit, as the weapon for this nezikin. It seems here that koldu is enough. And that would mean that the bar is one tefach deep, and yet somebody was injured on it. And you're chayef for such a thing. So we see clearly, according to this diuk from the Braisa, that if we're going with a bar kaldu, even if it's a tefach, and you're chayef in a zikin, it means ain't umdin, there's no umdina. Because you talk about a very small, very low, you know, an object that has low height, very, very low height. It's almost like crawling on the ground. And it's a bar that's chayef in a zikin. I mean, why would anybody anticipate damaging himself or a shor damaging itself from the bar that's so small, so limited? And the Gemara says, lo, that's not what the Mishnah has in mind. To assume that a bar, if it's mimata lamata, it's even a koldu that you chayef in a zikin. But rather, mimala lamata kachosh. If we have to understand, the Mishnah is referring to from 10 tefachim going down. And the Mishnah wants to tell you that lahachshiv, to calculate, es omek habar linizakin rak milamala. So if we read the Mishnah milamala lamata, what the Mishnah is really saying is that from 10 going down, it's no longer a bar ha memis, but it is a bar ha mazik. But vahachi kamar asar tefachim misa ika pachos me asara purta nizakin isa. In other words, as far as nizakin is concerned, even if it's a little bit shallow, more shallow than a bar of yud tefachim, meaning we're going down to 9 tefachim, let's say, then there's nizikin. And Misa leka. Now, what do these two words, misa leka, mean? What does it mean that there's no possibility of misa? I mean, the shor could die, but I guess what we're saying is that we define the heft of the shor, it's not a shor memis. That's what means misa leka. Uliomel emalacha omed linizakin. We're going to always have to evaluate the bar, and for that matter, let's extrapolate as a universal rule in all nizakin to take a look at the heftza hamazik. V'chol midi u'midi, and with regard to every single thing that was mazik, yehechi d'mitazka be'inon. We have to assume through this umdana that we can determine this is X's amount that it's capable of being mazik, and based on that umdana, based on that evaluation, that's when the mazik has to pay damages. So it comes out that according to the maskana of this piece, of this presentation in the sugya, we need an umdana. Originally, we thought milamata ulamala. That means even a bar kolduhu is chayef in a zikin, and that certainly is not an umdana where we would have assumed up front that if there were no other contributing factors, the bar itself would have injured the person. But the Gemara's conclusion is no. We're talking about milamala lamata. And in each case of a bar that's lower, that's less deep than Asar Tfachim, we have to evaluate whether or not indeed it has the capacity to create such a severe damage. Toshma, now the Gemara quotes another Braisa, which we saw once in Kiddushin. Hiko al Eino, Simo al Ozno vechersho Eved, is Yotze ben Lecherus. This is the parasha of Yitzia Barashe Evarim, and we're talking about a case where the owner of the Eved, we're talking about an Eved Knani, of course, took out the Eved's eye, or he hit him in a way that Simo, that impacted on him to lose his sight, or he Koal Ozno, he hit him over the ear, Vechersho, and the Eved became deaf, is Eved Yotze ben Lecherus? This also comes under Yitzi L'Cherus. And even though we're talking about Chersho, that's not a case of Shein V'ayin, but nevertheless, we extrapolate from Shein V'ayin to all 24 Rosh Eivarim. And that's a sugya in Kiddushin. And in these 24 Rosh Eivarim, if the Adon takes out one of those 24, then Eved goes free. But what happens now in the safer this price, if he didn't hit him on the eye directly, Let's say, for example, he banged on a wall, keneged eino, right next to the Eved's eye. The eino roa, and that loud haka, which came close to his eye, forced the situation where the Eved lost his eyesight. There wasn't a direct hit from the Adon onto the Eved's eye, but rather keneged egdo, keneged eino, because he was makib kosel. Keneged ozno, or he banged on the wall in such a way right near the Eved's ear that the Eved lost his power of hearing. V'eino shamea is ein Eved yotzi ben lecherus. Interesting. Even though at the end of the day, as a result of the action of the Adon, the Eved lost his sight, lost his hearing, nevertheless, he doesn't go out lecherus. Why isn't that yitzia barashi evarim? My time alav mishum to be in an umdina. It must mean that you have to do an umdina. Now, you know, if he smacked up against the wall, keneged eino, keneged ozno, how are you going to make this umdina? How do you know if the mak himself, through that hakah on the wall, on the kosel, had a power and energy enough to cause the eved to lose his sight or his hearing? And the answer is, and this is the underlying premise of this braisa, so that any umdana you make to evaluate whether hakal akosel is going to cause deafness or blindness, you're always going to come to the conclusion that no, that hakal, since it wasn't direct on the eye or the ear, is not going to cause blindness or deafness, but rather, as Rashi has it, mazlo goram, which means that there were other factors here that kicked in. And that's why is Eino Eved Yotzi L'Cheres in this Shmamino Yesh Umdil in Izokin. We see clearly that we have to anticipate, based on our evaluation, that this action or this weapon would have and should have caused the damage that actually occurred. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof from this Brisa. The reason for the Brisa in the case of Hiko Bekosel Keneged Eino or Nistam or Ozno Chersho, that has nothing to do. The fact that the Eved doesn't go free in that case, there's no Yitzia L'Cherus, has nothing to do with Umdino, but rather Mishum De Amrinon Hu De Avis Nafshei, that the Eved somehow contributed to this harm and this damage. What does it mean, di avis nafshe? Avis means to instill fear. He, initiated fear. He began, he was overwhelmed by this mak, by the koach of the maka, the call of the maka, the noise, and the trembling, and the vibrations that he was overwhelmed with fear. And as a result of this psychological shock kind of state, he lost his eyesight, nebuch, or he lost his hearing. But it's not inherent in the hakah. You can't say that it was the hakah that caused him the nezek. The hakah was on the kosel. And therefore he doesn't go l'cherus. That's not considered the maisa ha'adon. So the Gemara now supports that with a braisa. Kedisanya, we learned in the braisa, mavis eschaver, a person scares his friend in a very sudden kind of way. Right? He says, boo, you know, is potter. On a dine odom level, Bezdin cannot compel him to pay damages for this kind of hafchada chavola. Hafchada means mavis. He scared him. That's only a chiyuv b'din shamayim. And obviously the moral and ethical, the right way to do it is to pay up for such a damage, but we cannot compel you to do so. Ketzad, what kind of case would it be in the second braisa here that he scared his friend and he's potter midin adam? Kigon, it's a case of taka biozno vecherisho. He's potter midin adam because he never did a maisa directly to the goof of the person. He was taka biozno and the sound waves did it. Is then he's potur b'dini adam? He didn't do a maisa begufo in din shamayim. Again, he's chayev because he had kavon lahazik. However, and now we get to the sefer achazo v'soka biozno v'chersho. If he holds on to him and he blows into his ear, or he bangs him on the ear, and he becomes deaf, chayev. There he's chayev even b'din B'din Adam. Why? Because he did a ma'aseh begufo. We're no longer talking about some sort of indirect hezek through the sound waves that emanated from the kol of the akah and the kosel, but we're talking about a ma'aseh hezek. And this nezek, because he held on to the victim, to the nizak, is considered the nezek of the ma'aseh hamazik. Anyway, we see clearly from this brisa that in a case where he didn't do a ma'aseh begufo shel nizak, it's not considered that he, the mazik, who banged onto the kosel, is the mazik who caused this nezek. He's potel shalem. If he was an eved kanani, he's eino yotze lecheres. This is not called a ma'aseh hezek. It's got to be directly onto his goof. Chisaron hila maskana is not a chisaron of umdana, but rather a chisaron of maisa hezek, which requires a direct action on the goof of the nisa. Toshma, but maybe we could prove from a different brisa. It says that hamisha dvarim umdano, so with regard to the case of a chovel who has to pay the nechbal, there are five categories of domim that he has to pay, nezek, saripa, sheves, and boshes, which are all mentioned in the Mishnah, da pe gimel amid beis. Is omdino so, we have to make an omdino, an evaluation of the nizak, what should he be receiving in payment? Vinosnin lo miyad, and whatever the evaluation is, the chovel has to pay it immediately. And as far as Ripui Visheves are concerned, is Adshe Yisrape, when does the Mazik, the Chovel, have rights to say, I'm no longer at this point responsible for losses that you suffer, that you sustain? And that is after the point of Ripui. In other words, as far as Ripui and Sheves are concerned, the evaluation is up till the ripui, up till the healing, and all the monies that were spent on medical expenditures, or all the monies that were lost due to the unemployment, the temporary unemployment of the nechbal, all those are paid based on a time evaluation of how long it would take till till his health would be restored. And if this be the case, then it would seem from the Braisa that we're talking about Umdana, and the Braisa continues and says, Amadu Vehaya Nisnavna Vaholich. Let's say they made an evaluation and they assumed that based on the Chavola, the Nechbal would need, let's say, a week's worth of refuah. And what happened was, at the end of that week, the nechbal, the victim, became sick again. And it became crystal clear that he needs an extended period of time for ripui, an extended period of time of shevis where he won't go to work. Is a nosana elikmo shamdu. The Takanas Chachamim was that once he made the Bezdin made the original Umdara, that's the ceiling, that's the maximum that the Mazik, the Chovel, has to pay to the Nechbal. And that's not going to be undermined by the fact that indeed the Nechbal suffered a great deal more, add another week, another month. Amdu Vehivri, let's say they made an Umdana, and then it went in the exact opposite direction. Instead of, lo and behold, he was sick another week, not just one, but 2 weeks. Here it went the opposite direction. They assumed that it would take him a month or 6 months to get healthy, but at the end of the day, he became healthy in his man muat. He had a supernatural recovery. And now the Dmei Ripui are cut down substantially, and Shevis as well. Is nevertheless, Nosin lo kol masham du. There is an umdana, and that's what he has to pay. And in this case, it's a gewaldige chumra and a gewaldige kula, because what we're saying is that the umdana sets up the ceiling, and even though it turns out, Igloy Milsa Fred, that he really needed a lot more time to get better, no, lakula, is ein noslo elikmo shamdu. Now it goes l'chumra. If the umdana said he needs a week to heal, and at the end of the day, the speeding process may, it only took 3 days. So now we're going to go l'kula in favor of the chovel. We're going to say, I'm sorry, just the opposite. We went before l'kula. Now we have to go l'chumra, and we're going to impose upon the chovel the full payment of, or reflected by the umdana, even though at the end of the day, the nechbal didn't need that much time off and that much time for medical expenses. But it's all based on umdana, because it's a separate bezunder halach of umdana, how long it would take, according to the evaluation, for him, the nechbal, to get better, to restore his health. And that umdana is set in stone. It doesn't change one iota, not in this direction or in that direction. Ishma mina, yesh omed linizokin. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, based on the parasha of Chavola and this brisa, and again the Mishnah on Pei Gimel of Chavola and how much the Chovel pays, comes to the conclusion that in general you need an umdana. But again, here the umdana, if you pay attention, is not, well, was the blow, you know, when the Mazik dealt a blow to the Nizak, was that blow stark enough to create the injuries? No, we're talking about something else. Here the umdana is to figure out how long of a ripui period is going to be, how long of a shevis is there going to be. The Gemara says, Lememad gavra kama liktzar miha maka vekama lo makatzer. Is lo kami boilon devadai amdinon ki kami boile lememad heftza I ovid hai nizka I lo mai. The Gemara rejects now the proof of this brisa, because that's a different sort of case. The case is, how long would the victim be ill? Can there be a shorter period of time until he restores his health, or it's a larger period of time? Everybody agrees there was never a suffix that in such case you need umdana. We got to figure out how to assess, how to evaluate the exact payment of the chovel for the nichbal. You can't do that without umdana. Our suffix was whether or not you should make an umdana on the chefetz, on that murder weapon or that injury weapon that he used to be mazik. And therefore, ki i'ovid ha'nizka olo, is this chefta, is this object with which he used to injure a person, is it royal akach? Does it have really the power to be mazik, or perhaps not? My, what's the din in such case? The Raisa didn't mention, didn't address it. It means we're back full square, you know, to our original suffix. We don't know whether it's umdana for nezikin or not. Again, certainly in the case of Ripui and Sheves in Chovilu Venechpa, you have to know and you have to make an umdana to determine exactly how long it's going to take and how much money he's going to spend in medical expenses, etc., etc. Toshma, we have a brisa that we recently saw in Daf Tzadi Amid Beis. The brisa is quoting Shimon HaTimni, is focused and addressing the extra word bi'egrov. The pasuk says vehika ish esreu bi'even o vi'egrov. Is Shimon HaTimni omer ma egrov miyuchad shemasur li'eda u li'edim af kol miyuchad shemasur li'edim li'eda u li'edim. So the final proof regarding this suffix of whether or not Bezin's requiring in Nezikin requires an umdana is this brisa, because the brisa says, according to Rav Shimon Timni, that an egrov, which is the paradigm now of the chiyuv to pay for damages, is miyucha, what's unique about it? Shemasur li'eda u'li'edim. In other words, the Dayanim of Bezdin, that's called Eda, and the Edim who witnessed this attack, they could tell us, based on their umdana, if it was Roy Lassos Chavola or not. And now this description of Egro becomes the paradigm case of as we said before, miyuchad shemosul yeda uli edim is afkal miyuchad shemosul yeda li edim. Now we can universalize it based on an analogy to Egrof and assume that in general, when it comes to the Nezikin, we need to make an umdara to figure out if that action plus that object was roi lahazik, if it had the power to do what happened. But if, on the other hand, if those edim saw the stone or whatever it was he used, and then it was nevad, and they can't bring it to bezin for umdara, potter amazik mil shalem. Ishma mina, we clearly understand from this brisa that yesh omed linizakin shma mina. Now, this yesh omed linizakin, which according to Rab Shimon Timni is derived from the extra word viegrof, is an absolute requirement in order to be mechayev the mazik. The egrof and kol davar hamiyuchad that can be used for umdana. That condition would not be fulfilled if after the Re'iyas Ha'edim, the object, the murder weapon, or I should say the injury weapon, was lost. Amar Mar, now let's go back to the Brice. The Brice says, Amdu, in the case of Chovel Amazik, Ripui, Vehivri, if let's say they evaluated that he would need to pay medical expenses in the hospital for a week, and yet after 3 days he stood up on his feet and walked out of the hospital. It's no small kolmash amdu. The Brisa says once there's a din of umdana that creates a payment, a chiyuv of a monetary, exact monetary amount that is etched in stone. Is mesayel le Rava? This, says the Gemara, is similar to another statement of Rava. The Amar Rava. There was a nizak, and they assumed that the nizak would not be able to work for at least a day because of the hakah of the mazik. Is the Gemara is going to say here, in the name of Rava, that you have to pay him for the entire day? Okay, that's not such a chiddush, but the itpach lepalga di yoma, itpach is Nisrapi, if he all of a sudden miraculously became healthy halfway through the day, is then the Ka'ovid Avidita. He went back to work in the middle of the afternoon, so he had been given 1 day of Ripui until he could possibly go back to work, and lo and behold, miraculously he went back to work that very same afternoon without having to wait till tomorrow. Is Yavina Le Kula Yoma? Nevertheless, we have to pay him, meaning the Chovel has to pay him the Schar Avod of the entire day, based on the original Umdana. Because in the original Umdana, in the second half of the day, he was not yet Roy for Avodah. Is Min HaShamayim Uderach Me'olei. Again, as far as the Nechbal is concerned, he could say, Baruch Hashem, I got Rachmi Shamayim, there was divine compassion, and I was able to return to my desk in a half a day. The Ripui took only a half a day. Okay. And this last piece, which Rava added, Minashmayim Udarachvele, that's what Rava is basically adding to the rice that we had before. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, in terms of Boshes, Rokak Vigilo Arok is Vehevir, is Nosla Arbamio Zeus. So, in the case where he spits on someone, and the spit actually reached the person, the victim himself, then the Tmei Boshes is nothing less than 400 zuz. The Gemara says, wait a minute, there's a limitation rule here. Omar Rav Papa lo shanu ela bo, aval bevigdo lo. Let's say, for example, he spits on a person, the roke reaches him, and it's begufo shalodam, and it really lands on his body, the body of the victim. That's really repulsive and humiliating. Then, and only then, do you pay 400 zuz, says Rav Papa. But if it landed on his beged, lo, then he doesn't have to pay 400 zuz. So the Gemara has a question now. L'chora, even if the roke, the spit, reached the beged of the victim, nevertheless, there should be a chiyuv. V'nehevi ki b'yesh bidvarim. He should be chayav, the one who is yorek, like the case of a b'yesh bidvarim. why is spitting on his garment any different? Why is it inferior to just insulting him with words, verbally? Verbal abuse, verbal humiliation. And the assumption now in the Gemara's Kasha is that verbal humiliation engenders a chiyuv boshes. I don't know why. The Gemara says, Amri b'mar Rava, the Bnei Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael said, Mishmei Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, also Meres, Bisho b'dvarim, potami kula. In other words, you need a Maisa Mavayish, and a Maisa Mavayish is a physical action. Speech, although it may be very damaging, especially we discussed about the damage to the Neshama, but nevertheless, it's not a Maisa. It's only Dibur. And Bisho b'dibur is Eino Chayev Dmei Boshes. He's not Chayev for Dmei Boshes. And that's the answer of the Bnei Ma'arava. It comes out L'matzkonas HaSugya that Yechayev for Boshes Arba Me'ozuz if and only if the Roke Gufo Shalom, but if the Roke only reached the Beged, Rav Papa learned from our Mishnah in Achayev, and Kolshke now, in the case of Bisho Bidvarim, which is one rung lower on the totem pole than Rekik Al Bigdo, certainly he is Potter. If he's Potter for Rekik Al Bigdo, how much more so Bidvarim? Now, why is he Potter in these cases of Lohi Giarok Legufo, El Lebgado, and Bisho Bidvarim? So the Rush explains, because the Tashlum for Boshes is written in the Torah in the Pasuk V'sholcha Yodav V'chzika B'mevushov, which means that she has to pay for that, for the damage of Boshes, because she did a Maisa B'gufo Shel HaMizbayesh. That's called Shulcha Yodav V'chzika B'mevushov. And we can derive from this that if there was no Maisa Mavayesh B'gufo Shel HaMizbayesh, it was only to his Beged or Dvarim, it was only words, then he's Potami Tashlume Boshes. And then the Rush quotes Rav Shriragon, who says that even though there's no Chiv Mamon, nevertheless, there's a chiv nidui. We're going to put the mavayish into nidui up until the time that he asks and he pacifies the mizbayish lefi chvodo. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Yuchas Chovo LeMazik writes that even though, as a general rule, a mavayish bedvarim or rokak al bigdo is potter from tashlumei boshes, but nevertheless, the dayanim of Beis Din have to make a judgment call here. And that's called Migdar Milsa. They have to make sure that they set up fences around the Torah. Everything reflects the place and the time. Kifisharoy Nokon. And the Rambam seems to indicate that in such cases where there's a pritzus here in terms of these kind of boshes situations, Beis Din should activate and flex their muscles, their authority of forcing someone to pay or finding some other penalty for a person who goes ahead and he's mevayish someone else. And the Rambam also writes that if he was mevayish a Talmud Chacham, he has to pay the entire sum of Dmei Boshes, even if he only was mevayish him bidvarim, which is very fascinating unto itself. Hakol lefi chvodo, the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, establishes a general universal rule, hakol lefi chvodo. This is what we call the relativity theory of Boshes. Iboiluhu, the Gemara is Safek, Tanakhama, according to this Tanakhama, says hakol lefi chvodo, lekula ka'omar o lechumra ka'omar. And the Gemara now analyzes the study of Suffolk and explains him. Lekula kamar, what's the first side? Lekula? And that means there's a sheer tashlum that the Mishnah establishes that you have to pay for Dmei Boshes. That's only if the Mizbayesh was an Adam Ashir. But Ika Ani, in the case of a Mizbayesh who's a poor person, the Loboy Lemishka Lekulia, he doesn't have to receive, we don't have to pay him such high prices. That's called Lekulo. We give him a minimum amount of Tashlum for Boshes. O Dilma Lechumra Kamar. What does it mean? It means that the shear, the amount of money that's mentioned in the Mishnah of how much you have to pay for damages, when that applies when the Mizbayesh is another money. But Akol Fichvod is coming to tell me that Ika Asher Deboy LeMesav LeTfei, that in the case of an Asher, his Dmei Boshes are even greater, they exceed that of an ani and that of the tashlumei boshes that are enumerated and listed in the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, "Mitakamar Rabbi Akiva, afilu aniim she b'Yisrael ronasan ki ilu hein b'nei chorin she yardim nechseim she af hein b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov shmamina Tanakama l'kula kamar." Rabbi Akiva's objection to the Tanakama clearly indicates that he, Rabbi Akiva, was upset with the fact that you're treating an ani in such a, shall we say, a low fashion. You know, you're not being serious and relating to his boshes in a serious way. And, you know, all your shiurim of Arbam Yozuz do not apply to an ani. That's what gets Rabbi Akiva upset. After all, there should be a uniform tashlumin of boshes that indicates that the Tanakama was of the opinion, l'kula kamar, that an ani doesn't get as much as an ashir as it's listed in this Mishnah, that the shir in the Mishnah of Arba Zuze was given only for an ashir, and ani pays less, you pay less. Yishma mino, the Gemara says, yes, we can prove from our Mishnah that the Tanakama is l'kula, that means if the Mizbaish was an ani, then the payment will go down. That's the pay scale that goes down. The Mishnah says, Ma'isa b'yechad shepara rosha isha, a person exposed the hair of a married woman in the shuk, in the marketplace, and the case came in front of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says that the porea is chayev to pay arbamio zuz. Then if you recall, after the judgment was given by Rabbi Akiva, the porea asked for an extension of time. Umi Avinon, Rabbi Akiva allowed him this extension of time. Is that really a general rule? V'chinosim, do we really give a person's man for a mevayish until he pays the meiboshes? We don't say that he has to pay immediately. V'omar Rabbi Chanina, we have a statement of Chanina and a nosim zman lechavolos. When it comes to chavol and all the five payments, including boshes, we don't give an extension of time. A person has to pay that immediately. The Gemara answers, Ki lo yavina le, when do we say we don't give him zman for a chabola? That's only the mechasre mamona, because there's going to be a hefsed mamon. We cannot allow that the nechbal should suffer an even greater loss of money. Avol boshes, when it comes to boshes, that's a set price. And if we wait a little time, he's not going to lose any money, the Nechbal. The Lochasri Mamona is Yavina. We can give an extension of time, which is exactly what Rabbi Akiva did. So in what cases do we say that giving an extension of time would be a hefsed, a loss for the Nechbal? That's with regard to Nezek, Ripui, Sheves, but not in the case of Boshes. Now, what does he mean by hefsed zman? After all, well, what does he mean by a hefsed mamon? After all, you're just giving him a little bit more time to gather together the funds. The price is always going to be the same. You're going to determine how much is ripui, how much is sheves, how much is nezek, and he'll pay it. So where's the chisar mamon here? The answer is that in the case of chavola, there are two categories. There's a category called hefsed or nifsad mamon le nechbal. The nechbal himself suffered a loss. And there are cases where, in monetary terms, the Nechbal did not suffer a loss. That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara is telling us that Ein's Nosin Zman L'Tashmuli Chabolas, according to Rabbi Chanina, why or when, that applies when there's a real Chiv Nizakin of a Chiv Mamon to replace something that's lost. Meaning that the Nechbal suffered and sustained a monetary loss. That money has rights to get immediately. It's like the case of a malv who comes to the lova and he says, look, I gave you an extension time. The time has passed. You got to pay me up. So now the Nechbal is claiming that the chovel owes him a chov. And that chov has to be paid. The money is going to compensate for the loss of money that the Nechbal suffered. But not so in the case of Boshes. Boshes is no hefsed mamon. And this really indicates how unique Boshes is in the scale of Chavola and also in the scale of Nezikin in general. Chavola is not really compensation. It's a whole different kind of chiv. Perhaps, you know, insofar as Boshes is a separate, unique kind of chiv within the constellation of Nezikin, we can understand Rabbi Akiva's Chumrah in Boshes. Again, now we're talking and focusing on the Kul in Boshes, that we're giving the Chovel, the Mavayesh, a little bit of an extended time to pay up, but there's also the Chumrah aspect of Boshes, and that is Rabbi Akiva's statement that even in Ani, we view his Boshes in a uniform way and compare it to an Ashir, and we say that he's like a Yared Minichasov, and he's going to have to pay the high payment of Boshes. And one wonders, according to the Rush that we quoted earlier, we didn't mention where the Rush is. The Rush you could find in Siman Tesvav, in our Perek. It would seem that the Rush is deriving a unique halacha from the Parsha of Boshes with regard to the Maisa Begufo. And I'm wondering if, in the absence of a Maisa Begufo, according to the Rush, there may be Chiyuvim of Nezek Tsar, Ripui, and Shevis, but not Boshes. And that's again a Kula in Boshes as a Din Mesuyam, and maybe because there's no Chisorin Mamon in Boshes. The Mishnah continues and says, Shmora Omeres Al Pesach Hatzero. He says to her, you know, he says to Rabbi Akiva, give me some time. Should I be paying Dalid Mos, Dalid Meozuz to this woman who she herself exposed her hair for the sake of an Isa's worth of Shemen? On my low, Rabbi Akiva turns to this person, to the Porea, and he says to Lo Amarta Klum, there's no meaning, there's no substance to your argument. And the reason for that is because Achovel Biatzmo is potter, but Achirim Shechovel Bo Chayovim. So the Gemara asks, Vasanya, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that Ein Adam Rashoy Lachbol Biatzmo? Amalo Rabbi Akiva. There's a brisa that says Rabbi Akiva spoke to that person, addressing that porea, Tzolalto b'mayim adirim, ve'aleisa cheres biyodecha. And he gives him a mashal. Rabbi Akiva says to him, you know, you worked very hard to go down to the bottom of the sea. In other words, you put in a great deal of effort. And why? In order to potter yourself up from Dmei Boshes of this woman, and to prove that she's already an Isha Bzuya, who's Mefayeshes as Atzma. She herself inflicts upon herself this kind of a Boshes. Felesa, but what'd you get at the bottom of the sea? You know, you know that, you're looking for jewels. Is Cheres Biyadech. You got a piece of broken shard of pottery. It's worth nothing. You don't have the ability to potter yourself up. All you've gotten from this whole work and trickery is that you've gotten a piece of cheres. It's not royal klum. Why? Because Adam Rashoy Lachbol Biatzmo. A man has the right to be chovel in himself. This woman can impose upon herself a boshes. She can humiliate herself. But that doesn't have anything to do with your humiliating her. You have to pay the 400 zuz for Dmei Boshes. And this brisa it explains that Adam Rashoy Lachbol Biatzmo is contradicting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Ain Adam Rashoy Lachbol Biatzmo. Again, he doesn't have to pay damages, obviously, but he's not allowed to do so. On my Rav Alo Kash, there's no steer between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Kan Bechavola. Vekan Beboshes. When it comes to Chavola, Ein Adam Rashoy Lasos Biatzma. The Gemara is going to explain later on in Amud Beis that a person doesn't have ownership over his body. He can't be Mazik his own body. But Khan the Bryce is talking about Boshes. A person has the ability to advise himself. In fact, there may have been a movement in the Musar, in the Muslim movement, that actually implemented this idea that of a Boshes, you're allowed to be Mavayish yourself. That's called the Navardika Muslim movement. V'yesh la'ayin v'zeh. But in any event, the Gemara asks, v'amas nisen b'boshes, who the Mishnah is not talking about someone who was chovel b'yatzmo, we're talking about a woman who exposed her own hair, meaning she was mevayish herself. And here we turn to Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Uketani, and nevertheless the Mishnah says, explaining the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, HaChovel B'Yatzmo Afal Pichein HaRashoi Potter. He's not allowed to do so. So you see clearly that a person is not allowed to be Mevayish himself. When it says Chavola here, Eino Rashoi Lachbol B'Yatzmo, it's referring to Boshes as well. Hachi Kamali, this is what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Lo mi boy b'boshes. I don't have to tell you about boshes. That goes without saying. That you're chayv to pay to make boshes, and you can't be potter by virtue of the fact that she was mevayeshes as atzma. The other rashoi levayeshes atzma, a person is allowed to be mevayesh himself. Others who mevayesh him have to pay to make boshes. Even in the case of a real chavola, a physical injury to a person, you might say, well, I can show you that this person is not makpid to be chovel biatzmo. You know, his body, he doesn't take care of his body, he mutilates his body. Nevertheless, achirim are not going to be potu in their chovel, they have to pay damages. But again, there is this distinction about Ein on the Rashoi Lachbol Biatzmo, but as far as Boshes is concerned, that's okay. The Maskon of the Gemara at this point is that a person is allowed to be Mevayish himself, but he's not allowed to be Chovel himself. And the Gemara is going to ask questions about that, and Amir Tzashem will see that in the next Shia.